reading this morning is Proverbs chapter 13 and verses 12 to 19. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. All who are prudent act with knowledge, but fools expose their folly. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. Whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. It's probably one of my favorite verses in Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And there's nothing quite like a dream coming true, is there? You know, Cinderella, her life of drudgery, cleaning up after the ugly sisters, wishing she could go to the ball. Of course she did go to the ball, and she married the prince. Now, my mum's favourite films, I was very much brought up on these, are the kind of emotional roller coaster films with a happy ending. You know these kind of things. I've watched very many of these films. Some regular features turn up. There's orphans, there's misunderstandings, there's dreams that don't come to anything. There's people who've had their hopes dashed so many times that they don't even like Christmas anymore. But the most emotional one we ever watched was Anne of Green Gables. I don't know if you've watched Anne of Green Gables. Maybe you've even read it. Anne is the orphan who longs to live in a loving home and to find her kindred spirit. And there's lots of ups and downs. I won't spoil the whole story, but suffice to say, her longing is in fact fulfilled. I'm not sure it's possible to watch some of these films of my mum's without at least a few tears forming in the corner of your eye. We feel this emotional impact, don't we? When someone longs for something in a story and it comes true. And we feel our own longings even more. That's where this connection comes from, I think. It makes us think about our own hearts. And you see, Proverbs is God's book of wisdom. And sometimes we get the idea that wisdom is like a judge. This emotionless, detached judge. He has all sorts of drama in his court every day. All sorts of people crying and shouting and screaming, passions, clever arguments, emotional tugs. But he's able to stand back and make a clear-headed judgment. Now that's an important skill for a judge, but that isn't what really makes someone wise across the experiences of real life. No, God's wisdom is realistic. God understands our thoughts and our emotions and actions, and that when our longings are fulfilled, it's like a tree of life. Or verse 19, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. You know when children are happy, don't you? They can't help but dance around the room. Almost unconsciously, their whole body's caught up in the moment. Their new toy that they've been dreaming of is really sweet to the soul. And when we've worked hard at our studies and managed to get the qualification we've been working for, or we've persevered through difficult times at work and things have paid off and we've come out the other end, or we've hoped that a particular relationship would develop and it has done, it's something that's life-affirming. It's something emotionally good. It's sweet to the soul. It's a tree of life. But when Proverbs mentions the tree of life in verse 12, it doesn't feel, I don't think, to the readers in the Old Testament, like something to look forward to so much as reminding them of something that they've lost. The phrase tree of life only comes in two books in the Old Testament, here in Proverbs. The other place where the tree of life comes is in Genesis, where the tree of life is lost. In creation, God sets up the tree of life in the middle of the Garden of Eden. He made for Adam and Eve this perfect garden where they could live with him. But they reject God's good rule. Sin enters the world, they turn from God and he banishes them from the garden. You remember, they ate the fruit that God had told them not to eat. And so God says this about Adam in Genesis 3. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he'd been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. See, longing fulfilled is a tree of life, but actually the tree of life is often out of reach. Maybe as we grow up, we find that some of these happy ever after stories are a bit simplistic. Yeah, the escapism is good, but it doesn't really match the complexity of real life. Sometimes we want a story that we can believe in a bit more. And maybe your hopes don't seem to be being fulfilled. Maybe your studies or your work or your relationships aren't going as well as you'd hope. And your heart hurts. God's wisdom doesn't hide from the disappointment of our unfulfilled longings. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Our hopes are deferred. I think the sense here is not just they've been delayed for a short while, but we're going to get them next week instead of this week, like your order's delayed in the post. No, it's been put off, and put off permanently. These are the kind of hopes that make the heart sick. The sort of the flip side is the longing fulfilled. This hope is deferred and constantly being put off. It's never coming. However much we want it, we just can't have it. It makes the heart sick. And it really can be such a raw feeling, can't it? Sometimes the pain in our hearts feels like it's always going to be there. You think this is never going to go away. Maybe the death of someone we love, the breakdown of our relationships, pain involving our children, pain involving our parents. That longing for some meaningful work, somewhere to live, someone to love. That longing to be rid of our sin and our selfishness. That despair as we look around the world and see that it doesn't understand the gospel. That pain of loving people who just won't see the grace of Jesus. And so the tree of life is a powerful picture. Because the tree of life isn't just the hope of a perfect life, but it's the perfect life we have lost. And so sometimes hope deferred makes the heart sick. But while the tree of life is something lost, it's not lost forever. There's one other book in the Bible that mentions the tree of life, and that's in Revelation, the last book of the Bible. This vision, this series of pictures of how Jesus is going to save his people. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth to replace this fallen world. We see this wonderful picture of God's new city where all those who've trusted in Jesus will live. And right in the center of the city is this river flowing with the tree of life. Revelation 22. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. This tree of life is something, well, a tree is something strong and solid and reliable and beautiful, but it's not like a stone arch, that can be all those things. This is a tree that's alive. This tree has fruit like no other tree. Every month, it produces another crop. You don't walk up to the tree of life and be disappointed because it's all fallen off or they've started to shrivel up. No, it's always in season. You know, you don't get scratched when you reach for the fruit. You don't find poisonous berries and tell the children not to touch them. No, in fact, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The tree of life satisfies our hunger, pleases our taste buds, heals our sicknesses, and not just ours, but the whole world. The tree of life is for all the nations. this picture of the ultimate longing fulfilled. You think that getting a good result in a test is like a tree of life? Just wait for the glory that there is in the heavenly city. You think a relationship that's achieved is sweet to the soul? Well, how sweet is it going to be being with God forever? The tree of life isn't just a picture of a great feeling when things go well, but it's the promise that will be fulfilled when Jesus returns and there is a new heavens and a new earth. And so the Bible is full of people who are waiting for that hope, who have that longing fulfilled. We thought about Abraham last week, didn't we? How he waited for such a long time before he received much of his hope. And one of the most moving examples I find in the Bible is that of Simeon that we read earlier in Luke chapter 2. He was a man whose hopes were fulfilled, and it was sweet to the soul. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. So when he did take him in his arms, he could now be dismissed in peace because he'd seen God's salvation. The thing he'd been waiting for all his life was fulfilled. He'd waited for Jesus just to see him once as a baby. But that sight of the hope of the transformation that Jesus would bring, that hope that the tree of life that had been cut off was now being restored, gave him something to wait for, and it gives us something to wait for, that our longings will be fulfilled. You see, Proverbs offers more than just a sort of an insight into how hopes and joys and disappointments mingle in our lives, but it has a message of what we should be hoping for. We look at individual verses in Proverbs, and we can sort of chew them over a little bit, as we've done with verse 12. But when we put together the whole book of Proverbs, it points us to a deeper message. As we explore these individual reflections, Proverbs is actually challenging us to make a choice. As we reflect on our lives and hopes that are disappointed, hopes that are fulfilled, the book of Proverbs is wanting to present us two contrasting choices about how we live. In fact, the introduction to the book of Proverbs in chapter 9 concludes with two different voices calling out. Two women who call to a young man to come into their house and enjoy the meal she's prepared. One woman's folly, who offers an easy way to people who've got no sense. There's no hard work for them, no growth in wisdom, no knowledge of God, but she offers them stolen water and secret food. But little do they know that the dead are there. Her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. So Proverbs offers that option, and it offers another option. The woman called wisdom, who calls you to her banquet and offers insight, teaching, correction, and the fear and knowledge of God. The conclusion is this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see, as Proverbs begins to unpack what life is like, it calls us to make a lifetime choice between two complete opposites, between wisdom and folly, between God and sin, between life and death. And we even see that in the way that Proverbs is written. These individual Proverbs are put together. As you've seen, there's lots of these individual verses in these chapters. Typically of Hebrew poetry, it says two things. In some ways, they're sort of not that structured. All the verses about longings fulfilled and mixed up with other ones about how we should live. I think that's because Proverbs is encouraging us to see the whole of life, to take from that one insight and not say we need to collect everything together about our longings, but to say, no, this is all part of this choice we must make. And you can see that choice in the way the verses are put together. Almost all of them in this section are opposites. They almost all take two different sides. So we've seen hopes deferred and longing fulfilled. But if you go down the other verse, almost all of them have a but in the middle or an opposite between them. So we have people who don't listen to instructions, but those who do. people who listen to teaching, and those who are in the snares of death, and so on and so on. All these verses are in this opposite, as if to say, yes, there's these two choices we had of wisdom and foolishness at the beginning of Proverbs, and this is how they're being worked out. Every single time you reflect on life, you've got this choice to make. Having your hopes fulfilled is ultimately not a random thing, but depends on your way of life. Look at verse 19. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. Verse 12 is quite straightforward. The opposite of longing fulfilled is broken dreams. But verse 19, the opposite of longing fulfilled is being stuck in evil behavior. You see, that's how we've ended up with broken dreams. That's how the tree of life was taken away from us. I'm not saying that a particular circumstance to a particular person is due to their own particular sin, but more that we're in a world of heart sickness because we're in a world of sin, because the tree of life has been lost. And the only way to have hopes that we can be sure that will be fulfilled is to find that hope in God's new creation, in the tree of life. And so Proverbs offers us this bold promise with a clear choice. If we take the right way, ultimately our longings will be fulfilled. And if we take the wrong way, then our hopes will be dashed. I want to look at three things relatively briefly that characterize the person who will receive the tree of life from these verses. Three things. They all begin with L. Someone who listens, someone who has life, and someone who has longing, or someone who longs. Someone who listens, someone who has life, and someone who longs. So let's look first at listening. Verse 19. Is really a diagnosis of this world that says our core problem is sin. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. A life that continues in evil is the opposite of fulfillment and sweetness to the soul. It's sin that's cut us off from God, sin that's cut us off from the tree of life. The sin in our hearts is ultimately not compatible with our soul's desires being fulfilled. How can we think that we deserve for our hopes to be fulfilled when we go our own way and we don't listen to God? But by contrast, the wise person listens to good advice and puts it into practice. And actually, that's the main content of the verses between 12 and 19, is mainly about listening to advice and putting it into practice. Look at verse 13. It talks about instruction and commands. Verses 14, the teaching of the wise. Just skipping down to verse 17, talks about the messenger who brings trouble and the messenger who brings healing. Verse 18, listening to discipline and correction. And then in the middle, verses 15 and 16, put it into practice. So, good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. All who are prudent act with knowledge, but fools expose their folly. It's really asking us, which way are we on? How are we acting? What are we listening to? Will we listen to the instruction that God gives us? Which is exactly the point that Jesus makes in the parable of the house on the sand. When we sang that song, and you know that was one of the stories that Jesus told, and the way he introduced it was like this. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You see, if we ignore the message of Jesus, if we don't listen, we're going to pay for it in verse 13. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it. We end up ensnared by death in verse 14. We're on the road leading to destruction in verse 15. It goes on, we end up foolish, troubled, impoverished, shamed. Because we've chosen the way of sin and selfishness, we're like the man who built his house on the sand. And sometimes the way we try and get back to that tree of life, is to continue in that way and not listen to correction. We're a bit like a chronic thief. Someone who's been put into prison, he's lost everything because of his habit of stealing. And so he spends that time in prison planning, how am I going to rebuild my life when I get out? How can I recover what I've lost? And his answer is, I just need to plan one big job. I just need to be successful once. And we're a bit like that. We've lost the tree of life. We've lost our hopes because of our sin. But we think somehow that by turning our backs on God and going our own way, that's going to somehow reclaim what we've lost. We carry on with the sin of Adam and Eve, thinking that we can get the tree of life without God. And so we need to listen to this message of correction. It's one of the reasons that Simeon was so excited to see Jesus, because he's a light of revelation to all nations, that he was bringing this message. This message of hope and correction and repentance. Jesus shows us the way that escapes the snares of death. He's the one who deals with sin. Just as Simeon prophesied that the sword would pierce Mary's soul, that would be the same moment when Jesus died to bring salvation. So let's listen to this diagnosis and act on it. Listen to the message that brings healing. Turn away from sin. Put your trust in Jesus, who has the message of life, who has given us the tree of life. So we listen to Jesus. And we have life in Jesus. When we join the way of life promised in Jesus, our view of life and its disappointments and joys is transformed. Instead of our focus being to seek joys that the world cannot reliably provide, somehow trying to get back to the tree of life without God, we look forward to this new hope in the city of God. And we hope for it, but we also experience it now. Look through some of these verses with me and see how the benefit comes to someone now who's hoping for the future, who's living in a way of correction and listening to God. Look at verse 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. It's not just that it's going to help us in the future, it's bringing us life now. Verse 13, whoever respects a command is rewarded. There is favour in verse 15. That reward and favour, yes, of others, but of God. Verse 18, whoever heeds correction is honoured. And I think especially honoured by God. The trustworthy envoy brings healing in verse 17. We find now, as we hope in God, this new life. You see, Simeon had received almost nothing of the promise of Jesus when he departed in peace. He'd literally just held him. But he'd lived his whole life in that hope and knowing the joy that was coming. He didn't see that hope being deferred and pushed off and pushed off. No, it was a longing that he knew was being fulfilled. There's a similar message in Colossians chapter 1. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope that we're looking forward to in the future in the tree of life is also the hope which is Christ in us now. The same comes in 1 Peter chapter 1, where we're through faith we're shielded by God's power. And though we have not seen him, we love him. Even though we do not see him now, we believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, that tree of life that we're hoping for in the future is connected with our relationship to God being transformed now. We know his favour now rather than his opposition. Instead of the tree of life being cut off in the past and us going back towards that, we're now living for a certain promise in the future. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13 It says, blessed are those who find wisdom. In verse 18, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. We can hold the tree of life now. We can have life in Jesus. So we need to listen to the correction that Jesus brings. We need to have life in Jesus, and we need to long for his appearing. You see, in the Bible, we're not called to imagine away the troubles we have. We're not called to somehow get rid of that sick feeling to the depths of our hearts. As we live for the life to come, we don't forget the pain of this broken world and sometimes imagine it's not there. No, it's still agonizing. Don't let's be surprised when this world is painful for us. Don't let it shock us into despair or even rebellion. Sometimes that disconnect between the hope in the future and what we're experiencing now can cause us a real problem. But I love the phrase in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, where it talks about Jesus coming and the crown of righteousness in store for all who long for his appearing. Life in Jesus is one of fulfillment, but it's still one of longing. And sometimes, as Proverbs will tell us here, this absence of the tree of life is enough to make us sick to the soul. So let's recognize this anguish of waiting. Even waiting for Jesus, we can be both downcast and hopeful. And this is the message of these verses in Proverbs, much of the Bible as well. Take from Lamentations chapter 3. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. This isn't just an Old Testament thing. Romans chapter 8, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, I saw under the altar the souls of those who'd been slain because of the word of God, and the testimony they'd maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? We're in a time of waiting. Jesus has come and given us this glorious inheritance, a great hope. And the happy endings that we see in those stories that kind of resonate with our souls because we really want them, but we think they're unachievable, they're really pointing us to this tree of life. We want that kind of ending, but it's not going to be found here. Maybe your heart's heavy with disappointment this morning. Well, there isn't a simplistic answer. Hope deferred does make the heart sick. But there is a hope beyond this world that's worth longing for. Maybe things are going well for you this morning. Well, don't invest all your hopes in this world. Yes, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but ultimately fools detest turning from evil. Unless we turn from our sin, everything is lost. So let's listen to Jesus as he calls us from our sin. Let's find life in Jesus now. And let's long for his appearing. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Let's pray together. Our Father, how we thank you for the real hope that we have in Jesus. Lord, we thank you that everything that's been taken away from us by our own sinfulness, Jesus has dealt with on the cross. Father, we thank you that we don't have to despair of this world, but neither do we have to find everything easy, because it's not here that hope is going to be found, but in Jesus and in glory. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to listen to Jesus, not to keep going our own way, but to listen to what he says, to turn from our sin and to turn to him. Lord, we pray that we might live with this great hope. And Lord, we pray that even in our struggles, we would long for his appearing. Lord, we thank you for the fulfillment that will surely come to all those who long for the appearing of Christ. And Lord, we ask that we might have the grace to stand firm in it. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.